Bibles and join me in Revelation chapter number 8 this morning. The book of Revelation chapter number 8. And we're going to read one verse there and drop into chapter number 9. Again, so thankful for all of you being here. Pray for those who are sick and out traveling, our preachers that are out ministering today. And keep us on your mind this evening as we get a rare occurrence to have a bit of a revival with our prison ministry, and we are excited about that, and there is already very, very stiff opposition from the enemy toward that, but we are still ready to go. We're going to be going over there this evening and ministering there tonight and tomorrow night, and then Brother Jeremy is going to take care of Thursday night service over there for us if they don't cancel. The last two times Brother Jeremy has been scheduled to preach at the prison, once we had a natural disaster and they shut it down, and then last time they locked the prison down. I don't know if they know something about him that we don't, but he has a powerful, powerful message to deliver over there. So, but be in prayer about that throughout the course of the week. I am so thankful today for the way the Lord has moved in this service. Always thankful for his presence among us. But I'm thankful for the teaching this morning and the moving of the Spirit the way it was, because what the Lord has laid upon my heart today is some of the darker themes of the Word of God. And I'm going to be talking to you about the powers that are against us today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the darkness that's going to come down upon this world when the judgment of God befalls it. And I'm not seeking to scare you, but, or maybe I am. I want you to understand the seriousness of getting ready and being ready and catching the first ride out of here. When the trumpet sounds and the church is called away, my ticket's bought. I do not plan to be here. I'm not going to be here when the days that I'm going to read to you about today occur. But join me in Revelation chapter 8. And verse number 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Drop to chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth hath power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days men shall seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as a sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue it's Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Those are some dark words today. I want to talk to you today what I'm just calling days of hell on earth. Days of hell on earth. Brother Jeremy, ask the Lord to anoint his word this morning. Amen. God bless you this morning. Part of our human nature is to exaggerate or over-exaggerate our problems and our pain. And over the years, we have accepted that phrase, hell on earth, to try to paint the picture in the starkest terms possible. I've read the accounts of those watching the bombings of World War II, and so many were saying it looked like, or it was like, or those natural disasters, it was like, and it's always like hell on earth, or as. But here in our scripture reading today, we are introduced to a time during the tribulation period, in a day and an hour, when the very hordes of hell will be unleashed on the earth in a way that the earth and the world has never seen. For 5 consecutive months, it will literally be hell on earth. Revelation chapter 8 presents to us the opening after the opening of the seventh seal and introduces these 7 trumpet judgments. 7 angels are giving 7 trumpets, and they're going to sound. And with each trumpet, natural catastrophe, things are going to, the very cosmos itself is going to turn upside down. It is an event that is so dark that in the beginning of chapter 8, heaven pauses for a moment of silence. What's about to be unleashed on the earth. By the time this fourth angel it has sounded, the earth and the sky that so many still worship today, they've lost the creator in his creation, and they worship the sun and we worship the earth. But by the time this gets done, it's not going to look like it does today. Chaos, confusion, the world, the landscape will be so drastically altered by the very hand of God. The utopian society that's going to be promised by the Antichrist when he comes in and signs that covenant with Israel. He's going to come on the wings of peace and telling we're going to have a society like never before. It's going to be a time of global peace. And the earth, it's really, he's going to sell it to the masses as a days of heaven on earth. But rather than heaven on earth, it is actually going to be a time when the world is going to experience the power of hell like never before. Turn quickly to the text this morning, and let's begin by momentarily witnessing the woe expressed. And John said, I beheld as an angel was flying through the midst of heaven with a loud voice saying, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. The trumpeters are getting ready to sound. The sounding of those first 4 trumpets resulted in destruction and devastation and death and desolation. And then while the apocalyptic world is still reeling from all of that, another angel comes and flies through the heavens saying, the worst is yet to come. What lay directly ahead was days like this world has never, ever experienced. Let's move to the woe itself explained this morning. Chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded. And with the sounding of that trumpet, events were set in motion in which hell itself would be turned loose on the earth. Unrestrained. Unregulated, but literal hell on earth. Notice first in the text how we see hell's prince unveiled. John said, I saw a star fall from heaven, and unto him was given the key of the bottomless pit. I know their commentators are divided over who this is, but the general consensus is it's none other than Satan himself, and I tend to agree with that myself, because look at the attributes that are listed here from the very wording of the text. It's a star. This is a personal. This is a person. It's not like the star that fell into the sea in chapter 8. This is not an inanimate object. This is a distinct personality. And the very wording of it so aligns itself with what had already happened to Satan as recorded in Isaiah chapter 14 and in Ezekiel chapter 28. And our Lord himself said, I beheld Satan as a star like lightning fall from heaven. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He's already fallen, but I think it was John MacArthur that said this is very distinct from that fall. I tend to agree with that, because at that fall, after that fall, when he's cast in Lucifer, the son of the morning, is cast out of heaven, he still has access to God. He still may go as he did in the days of Job and present himself to God at the sons of men. He still goes to God as the accuser of the brethren. But at this fall is final. This fall, his access will forever be denied. Satan is not permitted back into the presence of God any longer. His days as the accuser of the brethren are now over. His trespass, if you will, has been revoked, and he's no longer allowed into the presence of God. No matter who it is, but the attributes tend to let me believe that it is Satan himself. But regardless of who it is, his authority is limited. There was given him a key of the bottomless pit when Jesus Christ died and spent those 3 days in the belly of the earth. He came back up conquering death, hell, and the grave. He said he's alive evermore, and I have the keys of death and hell and the grave. Do you realize today the devil does not have keys to his own dominion? He does not have the keys to his own house, if you will. But here is a day when Christ will momentarily, the key will be given back to Satan. And for there, in a space of 5 consecutive months, the earth will totally be under the control of Satan. And you imagine what a time that is going to be, when Satan will have control over the entirety of the world. He is the prince and the power of the world right now. He's the prince of this world, but he operates under restriction. He operates because he that now letteth, the Holy Spirit, the saints of the living God, they restrain him. They hold him back. But once the restraint has been lifted, hell will literally be unleashed on this earth. Hell's prince is unveiled, and then hell's pit is unlocked. And he opened the bottomless pit. That pit's mentioned at least 7 times in the book of Revelation. Notice in the text its depth. It's bottomless pit. Comes from the Greek word where we get our word abyss. Seems to be where those the vilest of the demons are locked away. It's where Satan himself will be bound during the millennial reign. Do you remember when Christ came to Legion and confronted those demons? Do you remember what they said to him? They besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. That's not the sea. That's where they went. But they're saying to him, don't send us there. This is a place so vile. This is a place so tormented, a place of such torment that the very hordes of hell themselves beg, don't send us there. Don't torment us before our time. Don't go there. Look at its description. He opens this door, and out of it comes the smoke of a great furnace. The cliche it is, but it is true. Where there is smoke, there is fire. And people today, even in the churches of the world today, do not want to talk about a literal burning hell. But the Bible tells us that hell is a place. It is real. There is a place of fire where the worm is not, the fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not. It is a literal burning place. These that Jesus said, those on the right will go to everlasting life, and those on the left will go into everlasting punishment. The key, my brother, sister, is that it is everlasting. There is a literal burning place for the devil and the demons and the damned souls who refuse the gift of God of eternal life. You may not believe in hell today, but it does not change the temperature 1 degree. Hell is real. The demons realized it. Don't send us there. These are tormented, twisted, demented spirits, and yet this abyss is a place that they beg. They plead with the Son of God, as they know he has that kind of power.
anymore. They know that he speaks the word and they are eternally damned and they are locked away in the abyss, and they cry, don't send us there. Do not torment us before our time. Look at the disturbance of this place when that gate is open and that door is open. And the smoke billows out. It fills the earth. The Bible said the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. The very atmosphere of the world will feel the effects of hell. The smoke from the pit will change the atmosphere. Hell is already working. And even now, wisps of the smoke blind the minds of men. And the danger is, the closer you get to hell, the more blinded your eyes become. The Bible tells us, Paul said, whom the God of this world, having blinded the minds of them that believe not. Blinded. I can't see it. You can't see it because the smoke of hell is already working upon the earth. And they don't see the need of salvation. They don't see the need of turning around. They don't see the need of coming to Jesus. Don't see the need. And today, hell is held in check, and you know what the smoke's doing. You know what it's done in your own life. How many scars are on your life right now because you were blinded by the smoke of hell? And you staggered into places you had no business being, into relationships in which you had no business being. And now you bear the scars. You know what it's like to be blinded, temporarily blinded by the smoke from the pit. But my friends, this morning, I cannot even begin to fathom what's going to happen when the pit's unlocked. All we're seeing now is what's getting in under the door. All we're seeing now is just, can you imagine what this world is going to be when the door's open and there's no filter? Can you imagine what's going to happen when all hell literally breaks loose on this earth? Hell's prince is unveiled. Hell's pit is unlocked. And then hell's power is unleashed. And there came out of the smoke locusts, and unto them was given power. Can you imagine? John Phillips put it in a very, very descriptive way. Just suppose this morning that instantly the doors to every maximum security prison in America suddenly sprang open. And all of the police departments, all of our armies, all government control instantly ceased. And every vile person, the world's most vicious and most violent criminals, were suddenly turned loose on the cities of North America without consequence. Can you imagine what this world would look like? Can you imagine what would happen if Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Hussein, Bin Laden, if the most twisted minds of society were given free access? Unlimited potential, unlimited power. Can you imagine the images of 9/11 and those towers still coming down? They still touch my heart as I realize what terror can do, what released sin can do, what evil men can comprehend against their fellow man. But my friends, this morning, something far worse than that is in store for this earth. Satan has been cast forever out of heaven, and now he has given permission to summon the most diabolical, devious fiends in the abyss. He's given permission to summon them to his aid as they go to bring mankind to the feet and the footstool of the beast. Watch their presence. There came out of the smoke locusts. To them was given. Why locusts? Why that? It was a very common analogy in that day. They knew exactly what he was writing. They knew exactly because it was a swarm. When a swarm of locusts came down, they devoured everything in their path. It's what the plague of Egypt was still in an Israelite's mind. And that's in the mind of John, is that they will come out like a swarm. These demonic influence, these demonic creatures, these demonic beings will come out and devour everything in their path. They will come in vast numbers. A swarm, I don't think we can grasp it this morning, that a swarm of demons will be loosed on the earth. Watch their purpose in verse 4. He said, don't touch the earth. Don't touch the green things. Don't touch the trees. I want you to go after the men. Go after those. All but the 144,000 who have the seal of God in their foreheads. Don't touch them. But other than that, everybody on the earth is fair game. Three different times in this passage, their sting is compared to that of a scorpion. As I've read about it, they tell me that those that hit those venomous scorpions go into convulsions. They writhe, they twist, there's pain, and even paralysis. It kind of mirrors that one who has come under demonic control, and those convulsions are there. Here they are. Note the use of that word torment. I want you to torment men for 5 months. You've got 5 months. That's the same Greek word that's used when the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments when he cried out to Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and touch the tip of my tongue, or I am tormented in this flame. What it's saying is the torment that is regulated for the damned, the torment that is regulated in that pit tonight or today will be unloosed on the earth, and hell itself will walk the avenues of this world.
Watch their precision in verse 6. In those days men shall seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. These demons will accomplish their purpose. They will sting, they will torment, but men will not die. Death will become an unattainable goal. The pain and the suffering will be so severe that men will desire to die to escape their misery. I don't think I've ever really grasped what this means until the last few weeks. That if I understand and interpret Scripture correctly, for 5 months, nobody's going to die. I don't have the stats before me on how many people die every second across the world, but for 5 months, nobody can get away. The most chilling images that I can get, and I cannot erase them out of my mind, as we sat at the break room where I worked and watched those towers come down, was those people who, feeling the heat of that flame and realizing there was no other course, grabbed hold of each other and stepped off of a building 100 stories high and plummeted to their death. In this day, jumping off a building won't get you away. If I understand this right, you will go through all the pain, but the crumbled heap on the bottom will still be alive. Men will put guns to their heads and literally pull the triggers, the damage will be done, but nobody's dying. It's days of hell on earth. Watch them as he describes their portrait, as it were, like unto. Those are the words to watch when you read this, because as it is with Satan, nothing is ever as it appears. Like unto horses, prepared for battle.
Horses and chariots are the symbol of judgment. They are strong as horses as they run down their victims. On their heads are crowns, like as crowns of gold. They are a victor's crown. No one can stand against them. Their faces were as the faces of men. These are not ignorant beasts. These are intelligent beings. They are real personalities, real objectives, not an imaginary being that some science fiction writer has concocted, but these have the faces of man. They are intelligent. They know what they are doing. They have the hair as the hair of women. What does that mean? It means what the Bible said. He intended for women to have long hair. Their hair suggests their seductive nature. They'll have hair like women. They will entice those into their own doom and seduce those unsuspecting victims. And now they come in the teeth of lions to devour, to dominate. They're relentless in their pursuit. They're relentless in what they're doing. And verse 9 said they have breastplates like breastplates of iron. You can't stop them. They're unconquerable. There is nothing that can stop them. No military might, no weapon anywhere can stop the horde of hell that's marching upon the world. And their power was to hurt men 5 months.
Why 5 months? I'm not sure. But 5 months is the expected lifespan of a locust. They have a prince over them. His name is Abaddon in Hebrew. It's Apollyon in the Greek. Doesn't really matter. It's the same either way. The destroyer. What it tells me today is that the hordes of hell are organized. We have the idea that it's just random. If we stumble in to an attack, or we stumble in to what? No, we're not. The hordes of hell are organized this morning. The forces of the enemy are already marshaled this morning, and they march out against the child of God, but they march out against that one who's trying to make his way to the throne of God. It is no surprise that when you turn toward God, your world begins to fall apart because you're leaving one world and taking citizenship in another world. And there are the forces of hell who are bent on keeping you from enjoying eternal life. They are orchestrated. They are organized. I want you to understand this morning that we have an adversary that is very, very, very detailed. He knows all about us. He knows you better than you know yourself. And there is a group, and on this day they have a plan, they have a purpose, and they have a prince who will lead them into days of hell on earth. Come to the music this morning. As they come to the music, I don't want to leave you here. Here is a woe expressed. Here is a bit of the woe explained. But I want to talk to you before we come to this altar this morning and remind you of a way of escape. There is a way out today. This cannot be changed. It is going to happen. Every detail, everything is going to happen just like God said it would. There will be a time when the hordes of hell will be unleashed on this earth. Verse 12, there's another ominous warning. It's a great pronouncement, for there's an angel that said, one woe is past. Behold, there come two woes, more hereafter. As bad as this was, it's going to get worse. No mind has ever been able to comprehend what this world is going to look like when God takes his hands off of it. Nobody can imagine what this is going to look like. Then the unmitigated wrath of God will descend upon his own creation. There is that great pronouncement. As bad as it is, it's going to get worse. But here is a gracious provision this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God hath not appointed us under wrath, but to obtain salvation by Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to be here. That's the issue today. I do not have to experience the wrath of God. Don't tell me that I'm going through the tribulation. Don't tell me I am not appointed under wrath. I have been appointed under salvation.
ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape these things that shall come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man. You don't have to do it today. You don't have to go to hell, and you don't have to be alive when hell comes to your house. Oh God, this world is steadily marching toward judgment this morning. The wrath of Almighty God. Jerusalem is a cup of trembling, and it's about to be turned upside down. But the grace of God today has made a way of escape. It's the cross of Calvary. There's a way out today. I don't think you're in this house today by accident. There is a way out. It's coming. I know it's been dark. But I could not, in all of my desire to do so, paint that picture one iota as bad as what it's going to be. I wish I could. I wish I had better vocabulary. I wish I had a better anointing. I wish I had something better to convince you. You need to get out of here. You need to get out of here. When those angels went to Lot, they came to him and said, the Lord's going to destroy this place in the morning. Fire is going to fall in the morning. Escape for your life. Flee to the mountain. And I'm crying out as the angel of the Lord this morning. You need to get out of where you are. You got to get out of there. You got to flee for your life. Judgment is coming. The clouds of judgment now hang over the United States of America and the world itself. There is a way out. There is a way. You've got to get out today. So here we are today. We are in a grave position this morning. Today we have to decide whether I'm going to take the exit or stay around for the judgment. You can't have it both ways. You mean I have to decide today? Well, now's the accepted time. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, but now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Will I never get another opportunity? I can't answer that, but you got one now. I don't know if he'll ever get that chance again, but I've got one now. I'm in the house of the Lord right now, and I have the word of God saying that today it's accepted. Now it's accepted. Now the ticket's valid. But Pastor, can I wait till after the rapture? Help me, Lord. Won't there be souls saved during the tribulation? There will be people who turn to God during this period. That's part of the purpose of that sealing of the 144,000. But the age of grace will end at the rapturing of the church. So no, you cannot be saved in the same light that we are saved today. Because that dispensation is over. We go back to another dispensation. And then we're going to have to work out our salvation. We're going to seal, if it is salvation, however you want to term that, they love not their lives unto death. You're going to have to be martyred, and it's going to become a religion of works again. But personally, as Paul said in his writing, I speak by permission and not by commission. I don't know if anyone who has heard the message of Jesus Christ will be or even can be saved during the tribulation. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because of what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Paul said that Antichrist spirit's already. Only he who now letteth will let. That means he who hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, the son of perdition, that one that whom the Lord shall consume, the spirit of his mouth, who shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming, at whom whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Antichrist is a powerful, powerful being. Here's what troubles me about you waiting. And with all, verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Can you? If Christ has offered it and you love not the truth, what does that mean? Can you be saved when God gives you a spirit of strong delusion? That you're going to swallow everything the Antichrist is saying? That you might believe, in some translations, the lie and be damned? Stand with me this morning. My question for you today is, if now in the age of grace, if now with the help of the Holy Ghost, if now with the praying saints that are around you, it is so hard for you to live for God and deny the lusts of the flesh, how do you intend to turn to God in an hour when the Holy Ghost and the saints are gone and hell itself is turned loose on the earth? If the grace of God, if the presence of the Holy Ghost, if the prayers of the saints can't get you now, what's going to get you then? I'll tell you where I'd be today. If I wasn't absolutely sure of my salvation, I'd already be at the altar right now. And I said, Lord, I don't care what I got to do, what I got to go through. I don't care what it's got to cost me. I don't want to be here when hell gets turned loose on earth. There's an exit here today. I wish you could see the cross of Calvary. Towering over the wrecks of time is the cross, the blood-stained banner that says you don't have to. I don't care what the devil said to you. I don't care what the devil is saying to you right now this morning. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to live in a world where hell is turned loose on the earth. There's an exit today. Bow your heads and let's pray. Father, thank you for what we've felt and witnessed. Thank you for the witness, Lord, of your presence and your power in Sunday school and in the opening of this service this morning to remind us that you have all power. And your power is greater than all the power of the wickedness. And they are limited and leashed. Thank you for that. God, I pray that you stretch forth your arm with that power this morning and loose the soul that is even now under the clutches of an enemy and being dragged in the wrong direction. God, I pray for a young man. I pray for a young woman. I pray for middle-aged folks. I pray for those in every situation this morning who feel the bondage and are being pulled along in a culture that's crashing in the wrong direction. I pray this morning for the liberating power of the Holy Ghost to settle into this house right now. Lord, loose that one. Snap that bond this morning and make them part of that blood-washed band. Lord, that we may stand and they may stand with us when the service is over today. And they may stand and look at that list and say, such were some of you, but now we are washed. Now we are justified. Now we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We were sinners, but now we've been washed and we've been cleansed. I commend the congregation into your hands this morning in the matchless miracle name of Jesus. Amen. These altars are open this morning. I want you to step out of where you are and join me at this altar this morning. I want you to step out. Saint, sinner, backslider, saint of God, I don't care where you are. I want you to come to this altar this morning and make your peace calling and election sure. Lord, I know I'm saved this morning, but the word of the Lord this morning just reminds me that I don't want to be here. I don't want to let any bitterness, I don't want to let anything get into my heart that'll cause me to miss the sounding of that trumpet and miss the rapturing of the church. Will you step out this morning? Come on. Come on, let's gather in this morning. Come on, step out while these are coming this morning. While these are coming, will you come with us today? Will you join us at the altar this morning?
Oh, to lie in the bed.
Come on, let's seek the face of the Lord this morning. Lord, there's a lot I don't understand. There's a lot I don't know. But what I do know is I don't want to be here when that happens. What I'll know, Lord, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is I don't want to try to live through that. I don't know anything else, Lord, but I just know I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die lost. Come on.